Now they're on. Good morning. Welcome to you all. Thanks for coming this morning, Monday. I'm Jonathan Marlowe from Green Scene. I'm the moderator this morning, and because we only have an hour and because we're all very opinionated people, we're going to get right to it. So I'm actually asking each of the folks up here to introduce themselves. I will start because I'm talking now. So as I said, I'm Jonathan Marlowe from Green Scene. I am the VP of Content Development and Acquisitions for that company. We started as a DVD rent-by-mail service during the period when there were about 50 such companies. There are now about four. But we never actually intended DVD to be the future of distribution, really. I mean, this panel is more about the future of film distribution. DVDs are a delivery mechanism, and we'll be talking about various aspects of DVD this morning. We're also a video-on-demand company, but we're not really going to address that here. If somebody wanted to talk about that, we could talk about it afterwards, because DVD is this 1 hour alone could not encompass all of the various details involved in this little plastic disc. So, at my far left is Brent Hoff, and I'll let him talk a little bit about Wolfen, and then we'll go all the way down to the opposite side, and then we'll fisticuffs will begin. At the end, probably the last 20 minutes, I'm assuming that you're here because you want to learn something, and that's good because we can help you in that respect. So I'm assuming at the end we'll actually open it up to questions, and we'll do our best to answer them directly and not pretend that we don't know the answer to your question. So, Brent.
Okay. Hi. I am the editor of Wolfen DVD, which is a DVD compilation of short films, longer films, something started about a year ago just to try and find a home for some differently lengthed content that wasn't really deserved to be seen in a little better quality than you would find on your internet download, and yet wasn't, you know, long enough to make it onto TV or film. So we started gathering a bunch of collections, and we put these out quarterly to subscribers, and we're just working on our fourth issue now, and so far so good. And then that's how's that?
Yeah. That's great. All right, Joseph.
My name is Joe Amade. I'm president of Hard Drive Video. Hard Drive Video is a full line DVD distribution company based in New York. We acquired the rights, the DVD rights, as well as television rights to feature films at places like South by Southwest and film festivals, and we put them out on DVD. Product-wise, we range from small little independent feature films to genre-style films, horror films, or action films. Also, we do a lot of documentaries. We have a partnership with Morgan Spurlock to release a group of documentaries under the Morgan Spurlock Presents brand. We also do a lot of sports product. We're full-line DVD distribution company that actually believes in the future of DVDs.
Now, the nice thing is that I've known Brent and Joe for quite a while. These two gentlemen I've met today, I'm glad to know them, Kevin and Scott. So, Kevin.
Glad to be here. My name's Kevin Collins. I'm the director of HD DVD Evangelism. It's not a religious thing. Microsoft is one of the supporters behind HD DVD, the next generation of DVD that offers high definition video on optical disc, along with other interactive features of picture in picture, graphics, internet download to supplement HD DVDs. Thanks.
I'm Scott Schumann. I work at Sony Pictures. I recently got restructured, but before acquisitions, was part of Home Entertainment and was governed by the Home Entertainment division. Since then, Sony Pictures is kind of restructured, but I'm still not in charge of, but one of many who goes to the festivals, looks for product, and oversees production for DVD. Sony's also Blu-ray, which is in there's a new format war, essentially, and Microsoft is HD DVD, Sony's Blu-ray. I'm not going to get into the technical side, as Kevin's probably much more educated and knows the nuances much more than I do, but I'm much more a content guy and can speak to that much better.
So we actually spent about the last half hour talking about this topic, and we're all talked out about it, I'm sure. but we'll try and revisit what happened 30 minutes ago. I think I'm recovering still from it, but let's start with Joe, just in the sense that that he hit on it. Often, if you read the trades, they continue to report that, that the future of DVDs is the past, that DVDs are dead format, and that because everyone is in love with the new, that even HD DVD and Blu-ray will never take off, and the whole format is, the actual disc format is moribund. So, Joe, rip that to shreds, would you please?
You know, the easiest way to address folks that speak that way or write about that way, and it's just to remind them that last year the DVD business amounted to, I think, $24 billion business, and that's not a business that's going to go away in the next year or two or three or four. It's a business that's going to stay and probably increase because of the advent of HD and Blu-ray. It's, you know, the movie studios are greedy, and they're going to put the product out in any possible way that the folks will want to see it. Will there be the ability to download films off of your computer? Yes. Will there be more on-demand VOD available? Yes. But it's not going to take away from the DVD business. The mass consumer loves to go into a store, whether it be their local video store or the local Walmart, and browse the shelves on Tuesday, which is street date, and pick up the new releases. They also like to buy the collections or the anniversary tapes of certain films. That's why certain people will have five different versions of The Godfather or five different versions of The Great Escape or how many Sony Silence of the Lambs they could release. Or they will continue to do that. Will it go away someday? Sure, it will. I mean, everything stops or everything fades out. But most people that I talk to, most industry experts, people that run the studio divisions of the DVD divisions, most people feel it's a 10-15 year cycle before this thing goes away completely. And 10 years from now, who knows where we're all going to be? So it's still a very strong market. It's changed considerably in the past couple of years, but it's changed more industry-wide, industry-wise, not really consumer-wise. Things that we deal with are things like shelf space and limited shelf space and smaller time on shelf. Those are the type of things that have changed the most, and that's really more internal. But as far as external and from the consumer point of view, you can buy DVDs cheaper at a better price now than you ever have been able to. That's going to continue, and there's obviously more and more product coming out. I mean, just look at what's happened in the past couple of years with television and everybody getting into releasing episodic television programming and people collecting their favorite TV shows, whether they be shows that were on the air 20 years ago or shows that are currently on the air. So it's a big market. It's not going to go away, and we welcome all of the other different ways of viewing films because we own all the rights to our films anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's all just different additional revenue streams.
Well, there does seem to be a slight behavioral shift in the sense that whereas people in the early days of DVD were buying discs, basically collecting their favorite movies over, you know, the 100-plus years of cinema, many of them, seemingly at least from our perspective, have discovered that they just weren't watching those films. Mm-hmm. So the pattern right now has been that in the standard definition disc space, that business is flat. But to define that further, it's flat, but there's a smaller number of titles selling more because the shelf space, as you mentioned, isn't there. So there's a certain level of creativity that has to take place, whether it be companies aggressively going after festival favorites like Heretic Films or what Wolfen is doing by putting these compilations together. So that was my segue to you, Brent. And then we'll get to the technologist and the studio acquisition side.
I just know that that was a question that my partner and I, Dave, had when we first were going to start this was, do we bother to do a DVD or do we just try and offer things online? Is this actually a website idea? Because, you know, there are people, we'd seen, you know, Spike Jones had made a documentary about Al Gore before the 2000 election. No one ever saw it. It was killed for some reason. And it's a very interesting sort of historical document, but no one's going to put it on TV and or in a theater, and there's no real place for it. And you, I mean, at this point now, you can sort of watch it on YouTube, but at the time, you could. There, it wasn't even there. A lot of these things are just kind of floating around. So we were trying to decide what we wanted to do, and it was settled on DVD primarily because there were a lot of other types of things that we wanted to do with this content that you still just can't do by downloading off of your internet connection. So like our films, we have, you know, in our DVD, we'll have very interactive elements, you know, choose your own adventure type things where you're actually accessing your remote and trying to interact in some way, taking quizzes, doing sort of things with different sorts of films and different types of films, and commenting on them in different ways. And then also just a permanence of giving a permanence to some of these films. You know, Alexander Payne gave us his thesis film. It was a film that's, you know, kind of started his career, and we were really happy to have that. And between, you know, browsing my hard drive, hopefully whatever hard drive hasn't crashed that week for the film, versus having, you know, a kind of a nicely packaged place where you know what's going to be, that just made the most sense for us. And we still do. And we still want to offer, you know, all of our films downloadable, but there is, you know, we're doing very well. So obviously there's a collection of the, there's a segment of the society who really wants to have a little permanence. You know, we do very extensive liner notes, and there are just other, you know, aspects to this that I think are working for us.
Well, anecdotally, the Adam Curtis documentary that you've been serializing the last couple of months, another San Francisco-based company, Ironweed, was considering trying to find a way to put it out because of the legality issues, which you weren't afraid of, because you're not technically selling it. Just bundled together. But I've been telling people for ages that this Adam Curtis film has been, it's available on the Internet Archive. You could watch it for free anytime you want. But every time I mention that you have the disc bundled with the magazine, they're, oh, great, I've been waiting to see that. I'm like, it's on the Internet. You could watch it. So people really do, given the choice, will still prefer to watch it, pay money to watch it, than get it for free.
And that's a length thing. I mean, an hour-long film this size is not, we're not quite there yet. We'll be soon, but we're not quite there yet.
I don't have a convenient segue to you, Ken.
Oh.
But I am
take
really
that.
Curious. Yeah. Well, okay, wait. No, I do. I take it back. That in the New York Times last week, there was a whole article on the difficulty of the issue that Joe talked about, that the larger DVD sellers, Walmart being the largest, unfortunately, is limiting the amount of space that they devote to things like you can't really find Wolfen in many stores, and there's a number of reasons for that, but that won't always be the case. Or a lot of the hard sharp titles you can't find. A lot of the better titles, I mean, you can find them online through either our company or Amazon, but it's difficult to find kind of the more deep catalog titles. But you also find this issue in that same article. Bill Lustig, he's a filmmaker, but he also runs this label called Blue Underground. He was talking about how HD DVD and Blu-ray are quickly becoming, and I don't necessarily agree with him, but they're quickly becoming the Laserdisc of this era, in the sense that it's a very limited audience for it. And I would differ in a very large way, in that Laserdisc at least had films that people necessarily wanted to own. They had the history of film, which hasn't happened yet in that format. But you're on the technology side, not on the content side. So in what way do you move the format along by convincing the studios to actually embrace it more fully?
Well, I think, you know, of the majors, obviously all the majors support one format or the other in terms of high definition.
And in many cases, both. So.
Right. And so I think, you know, what to look at is the target audience. And right now there's over 35 million HD televisions in the United States. Mm-hmm. And these people want to see film that justifies the purchase that they made on their high-definition television. You know, right now when they watch it, it's not the same quality as what they see on sports on high-def or on that. And even on these types of media, on HDVD, you have six times the picture resolution of what you'd have on a normal DVD disc. Mm-hmm. So you can see a lot more detail in the film. That's just one of the things that are there. In addition to what you'd have with that technology is substantially better audio. So you'd have high-resolution audio up to 7.1 channels that you never had available on DVD. It was always compromised, compressed audio, so you never had anything that was like that. It's the same kind of audio level that you'd have with a DVD audio or SACD audio level quality. And then third, to really, you know, attract the customer, there's a whole new level of interactivity. You can look at a lot of the existing HD DVD titles out now. Something unique to HD DVD is that every player, so if you're a filmmaker, you can do behind the scenes while you're watching the movie, and the user can turn that on or off. It's something that you never had available on DVD before. So, you know, titles like that are out now, like Miami Vice or Tokyo Drift and Batman Begins, all have this picture-in-picture commentary with graphics that will bring the consumer in, or they'll put the storyboards up while the movie's playing, and but the consumer has the, or the user, the viewer has the ability to turn that on and off while they're watching the main movie. So there's all these additional type things.
For this audience, I'm assuming there are a number of filmmakers here, yes? So, and we had talked beforehand that there is an opportunity in the either the Blu-ray or HD DVD space for independent filmmakers to use that format in ways that hasn't been used before. However, with a film like Joe Swanberg's Kissing on the Mouth, what do you lose by taking a low-format video shot feature and then putting it on an HD format? Is there a disconnect between the way these films are being made and then the quality of the final format?
Well, one thing is when during the transfer process from film to digital, there's... depending on who's doing the scanning, a lot of the larger studios will do 4K lines of resolution. So you're approaching the near limit of what the film has to offer in terms of resolution. So everything that was available, all the grain and everything that you might be particular about, you know, directors like Michael Mann are very particular about having grain. Like on Miami Vice, where he added grain into the HD because it was all shot on video, not on film.
Right.
So he added grain into there to get the effect that he was looking for, and he wanted to have that faithfully reproduced when it came out on the HD DVD version.
Mm-hmm.
So I think regardless of what the medium is, it's definitely a mechanism to guarantee that what you would see off that film or off the video is faithfully reproduced. And that's, that's one of the key advantages that you have in that regard. The other part, though, is... if you're a filmmaker and you want to add additional content, you know, on any of these, your shelf life is limited. If you look at any, you know, the major titles on DVD, one of the things that always bothered me as being an avid movie watcher in my own theater was putting in a title 2 years later and seeing a preview that I'm so tired of seeing. And if you look at the HDVD movies, you'll notice that none of them have trailers on them. And the reason is every HDVD player that ships has memory on it and a network connection. And so what they're going to start doing this summer is they'll start downloading new high-def trailers that will rotate through. So when you put that disc in, you get to watch a new high-def trailer, and you're, you know, something to look forward to. In addition to that, if there's additional commentary, you know, for picture-in-picture, that can be updated. Another feature that's available is like on Miami Vice, when a new actor comes on, a little icon will come up and you can get the bio stats with what their bio is, what movies they've been on. But obviously, if it's on this and there's nothing else, it becomes dated 2 years from now. So with the network connection, they can download and update those stats so you can see what additional movies are. So you can have a movie that you can produce and it can continue to live. The other thing that's not to be, you know, necessarily scared about is one of the... DVD, HD DVD is the next generation of DVD. It came from the same people that put together DVD.
Right.
And in that, from, you know, like a filmmaker perspective, you do not have to go on to that optical disc that has that high capacity. With HD DVD, you can burn onto a DVD minus R. It's something unique to HD DVD. So you could have HD content on a DVD minus R or a DVD ROM and play it in high definition. The only thing you're limited to is be particularly good for like shorts or something like that, where you want to have high definition content, but have it on that disc. And that's something that only HD DVD offers in that regard. So you can have a very low cost of entry to get into a market that already has well over 500,000 HD DVD players just in the United States. and that's continually grow. It's only been out for 1 year now, not even a year. It came out last April is when it introduced. So there's over 500,000 players that have sold through. So just in the United States, there's a growing number of those players. And if you look at the parallels to DVD, HDVD is outsold. If you look at DVD in the first year number of players, HDVD has succeeded that greatly, and to the addition of the amount of titles that are out there.
Yeah, except that Blu-ray disc outsell HDDVD discs.
Ooh,
but that's an issue for you. I don't know if that matters.
Well, you can look at, if you look at the life of the two formats, they're actually the same. If you look at the months of January and February, there was about 4 HDVD titles out versus 20, so...
Yeah, that's true.
In the first 2 months. So if you look at the short term, if there's 20 titles versus 4 to buy, then you would expect that there'd be more sales. But if you look at the history, then it's actually dead neck even right now in the number of software sales.
All right, Scott, I really don't have a graceful transition to you. Do you have anything to say about anything?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I can talk about is a bit more how the change of technology is going to affect the content.
Content creation or...?
Well, just from what filmmakers are doing and what type of genre and film is working. I mean, from an example of when you see Blu-ray or HD DVD for the first time, for me it was a bit shocking. And one of the things I learned right away is they're going to have to, just as they did with DVD, you know, the studios will bring in all the cinematographers and DPs for a summit and just essentially say, look at these actors. You know, one thing that's really scary for the actors is when you put them on screen and you see the nuances of this person's complexion. And you can see in one angle that, you know, they may have maybe had a little dark spot there and their makeup might be a little different on the other shot just because it was like a different day. And this is something that directors of photography have to deal with. And it's just like nuances like that. When you see the rise of DVD, you see, for example, the genre that it affected in the biggest way was horror films. The horror consumer is a more rabid consumer, and essentially you saw also in the cyclical world of genre, horror made a big comeback, and a lot of people attribute it to the way horror films overperform on DVD. At the same time, one thing you kind of saw on a smaller level was the decline of the no-name independent films, the no-cast, the smaller films that were working 10 years ago that people would go to a theater and see and maybe hear about and rent. In Blockbuster, a couple months, 6 months, a year later, it's very tough for those films to find a home and to find success now. It's a much more vicious marketplace. It's all about cast in the indie world because it is more competitive to find shelf space. I think you see it with Walmart controlling such a large percentage of the of the consumers that that's directly correlated to why you've seen such a rise in faith-based material and why every studio is starting a faith-based division because Walmart consumers appreciate those films a lot more. So I think one thing that's going to be interesting is to see how genre and the films are affected by essentially a constantly changing format battle.
He had a really good point there on just how the cinematographer has to really focus on differences with the HD format. Alan Davio, who did a variety of films, we were watching Van Helsing with him at one of his friends' place on HDVD, and he was going over it. And one of the things he was noticing was that he was going to make comments to the lead.
Was it Hugh Jackman?
The lead guy about, you know, the focus was off a little bit. It's these types of things that you see vividly on a high-definition format, the focus being off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Another instance is we were showing Miami Vice to Michael Mann, and also we're showing him King Kong, which is another HDVD movie. And immediately he was looking on King Kong at the special effects and how vivid they were. You could tell, in his eye, he could tell that they were fake and didn't have the realism that you can get away with on DVD because you don't have that type of resolution. So there is, from a filmmaker's standpoint, has to be a lot more closer eye because the consumer sees this, particularly things out of focus. I know if you watch Batman Begins in high definite HD DVD, you'll see areas where it's not in focus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, it's like, wow, it's not in focus. I never noticed that on the DVD.
Right. Because standard definition is definitely more forgiving. Actually, I did want you to comment on this because Sartrip hasn't embraced either HD DVD or Blu-ray yet. And there seems like a great opportunity as the forces that are pushing high definition are out there, that standard definition can have a whole other life for a content that maybe plays better in the more forgiving realm. I mean, well, not every movie is Die Hard. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword because, first of all, it's great that HD and Blu-ray are out there, but those new discs are taking away even more shelf space at Walmart and Kmart and everybody else. So there's less shelf space out there for independent films and smaller films because of HD and Blu-ray. And it's very hard to release a small little independent film for financial reasons on either of those formats because they're very costly to make. They're probably almost 8 or 9 times the charge or the money you need to put out to create something in HD or Blu-ray than standard. And at the end of the day, it's always about the numbers, and the sales are good, okay, but they're not phenomenal at this point. They're not creating a whole new world out there. And the films that are selling the most are the films that these gentlemen are talking about, the big budget King Kongs. The type of films that Hart Sharp releases, there really wouldn't be any reason for us to go into HD. And I would love to have a film that I'd be able to do that with, but it just doesn't make sense right now. It's interesting. How many people in this room have a high-definition television?
Wow.
Fantastic.
That's great.
And how many people in this room have either a Blu-ray or HD machine? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's great because, I mean, what's happening is it's increasing. It's bringing people back to the stores. Obviously, it's making people more interested or refreshing their love for films. And the same people that go and buy King Kong or go and buy Van Helsing or Miami Vice are the DVD consumers that go to the stores every single week, and they will buy independent films because they just turn into film lovers and film collectors. And in a normal situation or in the world that we live in, they'll buy anything. They'll buy anything that comes out that looks interesting. It's our job to make sure that we try to figure out ways to release our films and get them in the consumer eye so they know that they actually exist and that they are available. But, the shelf space issue is probably the one issue that is the most predominant in all of our lives, and as these bigger budget films take up more shelf space, companies like ourselves or companies like Hart Sharp and people like us have to figure out ways of replacing some of that lost revenue with other streams of revenue, and it's forced us to get into different areas. It's forced us to make sure that we buy all rights on films. We took it in a totally different direction, and it is exciting for us as we started putting films money into films before they're even made at script stage. So we're starting to co-produce some films on our own. We're actually theatrically releasing a film for the first time, a locally made film called Chalk, made right here in Austin, that we're taking out nationally in May. So it's made us sit back and go, okay, unfortunately Walmart's a huge percent of the business, 42 to 45% of the business. That's like one out of every, two DVDs bought is purchased at Walmart. Shelf space is limited and shelf space is quick, meaning they put the DVDs on the shelf and if they're not selling in 2 weeks, they're off the shelf. And that's a lot different than it was 6 months ago, a year ago. Mm-hmm. So, we have to be creative, and it's kind of rejuvenated us and brought some of the fun back in because it's a challenge that we need to face, and everybody, all companies my size, our size, need to face. It's affected every part of the independent film world. Walmart.
Yeah. Well, part of what we were talking about in this panel, the idea of the future of DVD, we've all mentioned different aspects of how the DVD itself isn't the end of the delivery of the film. There's so many other components to it. And with Wolfen, for instance, you have one of the Zellner Brothers films on one of the issues, and then you have some of their other shorts on the site. So yeah. How do those two things play off of each other, having some content online and some content on the disc?
We choose some for the DVD and some for the online.
That's great, Brett.
That's how
can
we do
be
it.
Be more specific.
The Zellner Brothers, actually, and since we were telling this, there are no trailers of any sort or ads on our Wolf, and we don't even bother with that. Actually, our menus, we had our DVD author hack into DVD Studio Pro to enable us to add some of the features that we wanted to add to this. So, we're just making our own way. I love the space that both HD and Blu-ray offer, and I would love to be able to offer that. But looking out here, I'm not going to be doing it anytime soon. None of you have the players for it. That's just more of a way that I try and structure mm-hmm. each issue to have a balance of films. I mean, I'm looking at this as not as a disposable sort of product, but something that Walmart would yank in 6 weeks if it wasn't selling. But kind of a good collection that is balanced, and there are various sort of pillars of content that I try and hit. So the Zellner Brothers film it starts with this what looks to be like a shipwreck and just a guy floating on the water, and it's a great long shot, and I wanted to use that as a menu. Our menus, instead of those really annoying like down 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 repeat down 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 repeat, you know, and you're like grasping for your remote trying to turn it off. Our menus are actually films, and we'll have like three or four different menus where the titles of the films that you can watch will come up, and those will come up for a very short period of time, then they will disappear, and you will be someplace else. You will be in a science experiment. You will be watching a Zellner Brothers film, things like that. So
for folks discovering Wolfen for the first time, it can be a bit disorienting how to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, you could sit there and watch Patton Oswalt stare at you for a long time. But it seems like almost like the way that you could utilize this, not to give you any advice or anything, but I'm going to. You could, in essence, at the end of a year, collect them all in a format that has the capacity and the different functions that HD DVD or Blu-ray could offer. Not that you have
absolutely.
To do that.
Don't
do it just because I said to do it.
Don't cut our production costs in a quarter. Yeah, no, I would love that. I think that's a great idea. We just we need to know that the market is there for that too for us.
Because I really feel, and then if this is actually related to you, I really feel it that these formats. I mean, clearly audiences are going to watch content in high definition. There is the expense issue. Which is not insurmountable, but definitely a considerable issue, particularly for the people in this room to actually take what they've done and make the investment to do that. But it is where this is heading, and I agree that we really have to focus on how we're creating things and how that works. The Joe Swanberg's new movie that premiered last night is a perfect example of someone who seemingly is thinking in that way, like how can he shoot things that will actually translate well into this new medium.
One of the nice things that is available on HD DVD is what they call a combo disc, and you'll mm-hmm. see this from almost all the day and date releases from Warner and Universal. And what a combo disc is, and this is a good way for like these gentlemen here to get into the business without ruining the business, is that on one side it's the classic DVD, on the other side it's the HD DVD. So it's very similar to when you had widescreen and
Panascan
right. on the DVDs. It's the exact same process that does that, and HDVD is unique in that it offers that, and you know, it gives the consumer. For me, I'm a big home theater buff, so mm-hmm. I have a big home theater, and I can watch it downstairs in high def, mm-hmm. and then you know I can put the other side in. My kid can watch the movie in the minivan mm-hmm. on the DVD side. Or if it's someone like my father, who is probably more like the people that didn't raise their hand in the audience that don't have an HDTV, he can buy it, and he's kind of future-proofed in that right, when sure. you get 2009, when the FCC cuts off HD over-the-air broadcast, and mm-hmm. people probably won't get that little digital converter that we're supposed to get free from the government, mm-hmm. and they go out and think that they have to buy a new high-def television, you know, then he's going to be there he is with the whole High Def Connect collection of films that he's got because he just bought it in the cover. Sure.
Are those DVD 5s or DVD 9s for the?
It's DVD 9.
It is DVD 9 for the. I was just curious. Because we would
It'd be the equivalent of a DVD 18, except it's two layers on one side, two layers on. But you're totally up to you if you want to have DVD 5 or two single layers or what have you. And if you have two single layers, then you can go to what they call a twin format. So it's just one side and one layer is HD and the other layers. DVD and the DVD player will read the DVD and the HDVD player will read the HD. So it's you don't have to worry about flipping.
For everyone that doesn't know, that's just like a bit something that we deal with every single issue is we're up to the last little bit of space and we're trying to compress things. And, you know, we'll get films. One or two films will come in on HD, you know, and we want them all to look as nice as they can possibly look. And then another film will have been smuggled out of Iran in a in a little box, and it's just on a little tape that we need, you know, that we need to get converted in a million ways. So we're always trying to deal with space issues. So that's good to hear.
Now, with Sony, for instance, does it change for the acquisitions team the types of films that assuming that Sony is out acquiring films on spec, films that were shot on spec, it changes the sorts of films that really are considered a viable acquisition? Mm-hmm. As opposed to, I mean, for instance, you wouldn't pick up a film that was shot on a cell phone.
Absolutely. It would not translate. It definitely changes it, and I think it goes into the shelf space a little bit. Recently, where it used to be more of a quantity business, when DVD was growing, you could essentially take any piece of garbage, make a nice DVD box, distribution was king. It's just, you know, you have a strong marketing staff that could throw together a cover, throw it into this pipeline, and you can make a ton of money. And it's not like that anymore. The shelf space is too competitive. The retailers want to get it out. So now, you know, we're being more selective. We're looking for the fewer, bigger titles to put through the pipeline and make better use of our system. I think it's interesting what it's going to affect from what performs on DVD level, like how Walmart's, you know, if it's not selling, they'll get it out. To me, one of the most fascinating genres of film right now is documentary. It's really kind of undergone a renaissance, I think largely due to digital, where now filmmakers have access to people and the ability to film stuff that they never had before. And you just look at the docs and they're fantastic, especially like in a festival like this where people just come in and see, you know, five or six fantastic documentaries where there just wasn't the capacity to make these films anymore. And one of the problems is documentaries don't sell on DVD. They rent, but do people really rent more?
I got a couple that sold pretty damn well.
Yeah,
I think we were partners.
That's right. You sold it for me. Yeah.
and that's in a certain. You know, there are other distribution models too. Like it's kind of this conversation so far has been very weighted towards like if you don't get in Walmart, you're dead. Yeah. We're doing fine. We're doing really well. Actually, one of the ideas I got. This was from Digimart, which is the whole downloadable future of downloadable entertainment. And up there, they were talking. I didn't go, but a friend of mine was taking copious notes, and he told me that the idea of making yourselves brand and getting extra content that you were going to be able to leverage just for yourself, and you doing it even through subscription based stuff. Like we are offered subscription based, and that was all we were even thinking of. We weren't even worried about stores. Initially, we're now moving towards that, and we have some distribution deals and things like that in the works. But we were able to make a viable business model. There is another company called Ironweed that actually has a booth here at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. They release documentaries monthly on a monthly basis for their subscribers, and they're doing very well too. Mm-hmm. So with their business model, they're able to get and they're
it's another
they're
subscription
taking,
model. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're taking all these documentaries that I was talking about that are out there, and you're just not. Able to see them when you go into Best Buy and here's your 20 Blu-ray options and hey, look, they also have Fifth Element in HDTV, you know.
But you just said something. The business model for a documentary filmmaker in most cases, the documentary budgets are minuscule compared to the bigger budget films or narrative films. So, you know, again, it goes down to if you have a certain amount of dollars put into your film and that's what you need to recoup, it's a little bit easier because you won't get the distribution at some of the brick and mortar you know, unless you get lucky and you bring it to a festival and somebody buys it and puts it out theatrically and, that, you know, the chances of that happening, let's face it, you know, a couple docs get bought per festival, but there's a lot of docs and there's a lot of festivals. so you can still make a profit Your film can still be successful without having, you know, without getting the opportunity of getting into somebody's brick and mortars. And by the way, everybody's using Walmart as the example, but whatever we say about Walmart, it goes across the board to Best Buy and to Kmart and to everybody else too. Everybody is shrinking the shelf space.
Right.
Everybody is pulling the DVDs off the shelves after three or four weeks. So.
And Brent referenced Digimart, and Digimart started 2 years ago as essentially for the thousands of films that get submitted to festivals like this one or Sundance or what have you that don't screen at those festivals, what happens to those films? Of course, just last week, the third edition of Digimart was canceled. So on that note, I would like to open this up to the audience. Please, since you were first to raise your hand and then this gentleman behind you. Well, they're very similar in that respect, in a way, yeah.
I'm kind of curious, though. I always sort of viewed that Amazon and other online sales sort of are on the hunt. Places like that, obviously, shelf space isn't interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see that changing, or is Amazon just sort of say something on the chair?
Well, I'll open that up to everybody, but you know, on the green scene side, I would say that that we are particularly good at helping people find things they've never heard of before. Amazon, Netflix, other companies in the other side of the tail, as it were, are really good at helping people find things they already know about. So I think the real issue, even though Amazon has a rather extensive catalog, and I used to work for them, it's very difficult for folks to really find those titles unless they're already that interested in. So I think it's critical for films by directors you're not familiar with, starring people you've never heard of. And they've played at festivals you're not familiar with. I think it's really an issue to actually sell those titles there. They do all right, but they don't do great. So it's not as simple anymore as just put it out there and someone's actually going to bite on it.
I was just going to say, as proof of that, until about a week ago, Walfen was listed on the Amazon site as a VCD. So they were trying, like, no, maybe change that. Took a while.
Amazon and Netflix, they're all great. Great customers, and they sell and they rent a lot of product. But as we stated earlier, when you have one account that is 45%, and number two, Target, is another 18%. I mean, do the math. So, Amazon, I'm not sure what their market share is these days, but it's great on some titles, and it's phenomenal on big titles, but it's just not enough, and Amazon and Netflix combined is just not enough. Mm-hmm. But again, if you make your documentary for $100,000, or try not to spend $1 million, you can make it work.
Oh, there's a microphone over here. Yes. So please, if you'd like to ask a question, just you can line up. I apologize. Actually, before you were next anyway, just ask your question from where you're standing.
Well, that's kind of what we're already talking about.
Yes. Right.
I can't find them there now.
No.
And, you know, at least if they're there, I might have stumbled upon something I hadn't seen. And like you're saying, everything's on Amazon. How are you finding what you're looking for?
That's exactly right.
And so with the loss of that kind of space in places like Best Buy and Walmart, what's going to happen to the underground and the Sam? Is there going to be enough saturation of the new standard, the Blu-ray, DVD, before their businesses go under?
That's an excellent question.
I think the question is, will companies like Blue Underground ever actually put things out on Blu-ray and HD because of the cost factor right now?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult economically for these companies that put out films that for them a good number of titles sold is in the 5,000 range, which is a very difficult business to be in. And there are people in this room who could probably back that up. But I won't say anything, Alex. I won't say anything. But Alex Afterman runs Heretic Films, and they do a great job at distributing films. They have Joe Swanberg's first film. But it's a very, very difficult business to be in. And Hart Sharpe has the same thing. I mean, you put out movies that you love, not necessarily movies that you think are going to sell amazingly well. Sometimes you're surprised. Sometimes you think something will do really well and it doesn't, and things that you didn't think would do that well really take off. Is that the case with... I mean, I guess
that's
you knew...
That's always the case.
Super Size Me, you knew it was going to do well.
Well, Super Size Me, it was a, you know... That's a life of its own. You never... If I put out the movies that I loved, I wouldn't be here right now. But you really take a risk every time you put a film out. Not only us, but everybody sitting at this table. You know, it costs you money to do it, and you need to get a return on your investment. We all love the art form. That's why we're here. But there's a whole other side to it, and that includes investors and board of directors and all these people that you don't even want to talk to because they don't know anything about art, but they know a lot about money, and they know when you're not making it. So it's tough. Listen, don't fool yourself. There's no doubt about it. What this gentleman just said about shelf space, this is not good for the small little independent filmmaker because a title that I purchased 3 years ago, Tully, which was a very small little wonderful little film with a very, very low budget and little theatrical exposure, did very, very well for us. I don't know if I'd buy that film today. Because it probably wouldn't get on the shelf.
And I think, I do during the day from 9 to 5 or 9 to 9, whatever it may be, and what I do on a Friday night and pay to go see have absolutely nothing to do with each other. And it's a shame, and I'd love sometimes for them to come together. But essentially, I have to fight for the successes to occasionally kind of slip one of those that, like, saw this movie, it was fantastic, I love it, can we just, throw this one into the system?
Right.
Yeah. And you just, that's the game. If I was buying movies that were moving 5,000 units, I wouldn't be doing this for very long.
I was wondering, if we can get to the point where it's basically like every film or movie is just available in all the formats, can we make it to where they don't have to compete for shelf space anymore, and the shelf is just your choice of what you want, and when you get up to the counter, you tell them what format you want it in or whatever, so that they're not having to compete for that?
You've described an ideal world that probably will never exist.
I think our respective companies are too big to...
Yeah.
There
are so many different factors at play that make it difficult. I mean, when you look on the Sony angle, so much of the business is... I don't want to put words in your mouth, so correct me when I screw this up. So much of that business is predicated when you spend that much money making a film in the first place, you have to have these various windows of when things can be available so you can continually resell the same property over and over again. That's not true for anyone in this room. And so I always think that for independent filmmakers, if you follow that model, it's like it has to be theatrical, then you have to do the DVD, and then you can think about online or television. That's totally ridiculous. You're playing by rules that don't apply to you. But even still, I mean, I would imagine part of the restructure at Sony is a reflection of how this business is really unpredictable.
The revenue windows are constantly changing. I mean, that's why, they change from cassette to CD and they change from new formats because they want people to flip their collections. And I think you see the studios moving into... Every studio essentially has poised itself to move into the next generation, whatever it may be. And they have, Sony purchased a company called Grouper, which is essentially a YouTube, just because you don't know what the next forms are going to be. They're poised to go into mobile content. They're poised to go into all these different aspects because they just don't know essentially what the next revenue streams are going to be. And as a big corporation, you're always looking for new windows. The rental window is essentially DVD really crushed that revenue window. And when you look at TV right now, TV as a revenue source is shrinking by the day. So we need to find new ways to make money because the budgets aren't going down. They're going up.
Right. And the really sad thing is with Tower going out of business this year, and there are probably a lot of other similar companies that will go out of business, they had staked their place when CD sales went down in the DVD business. And there's nothing that really has stepped up to replace the flattened DVD business. Maybe it will be HD DVD and Blu-ray, but if the past patterns repeat themselves, it's going to take a few more years before we're at that level where enough titles are coming out to make it worthwhile. On that pessimistic note, yes.
Thanks for that. My name is Matt Fisher. I work for Sonopress, which is a name that might be known to some of you up on the table and probably not known to anyone else. But we make recorded optical media. We make CDs and DVDs. Mm-hmm. I run online for Sonopress and on demand. Mm-hmm. And one thing that strikes me is that physical media tends to be a distribution dead end. Once it makes its way into the house, it can't really make its way anywhere else unless it's loaned out to a friend or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the big reasons why Netflix has been so successful, because it sort of reaches into the house and then pulls it back in, is able to leverage that fixed cost of inventory. Do you foresee any future where where physical media will play a part in the sort of ongoing daisy chain of distribution with revenue still flowing back to the rights owner in some way.
Well, with the networking component in HD DVD, that's definitely something that's available. You know, where people can go have their DVD, HD DVD in the tray. If they have it hooked up to the network, there's just talking about the thing. You know, if, not that we're doing Casino Royale or anything like that, but the James Bond movies, you always have some new article, his watch, and you could go on there and, purchase his watch and, or something, or, have additional things to download content that you're going to pay a premium for. Maybe there's some unreleased director's commentary or some additional footage or something, deleted scenes that you can then charge a minimal fee and it can download, and then it becomes integrated to be part of that disc, even though it's stored on the memory of the player. It's only accessible when that disc is in the tray and playing. So there's lots of revenue opportunities that are out there on that. Also, there's the next form of copy protection that's on both formats, AACS, that hopefully in the next couple months there will be a part added to the licensing agreement called Managed Copy. And that would allow you to have the disc and to, make a version for the Apple iPod or for a Windows, for Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3 or your MP3 player or the soundtrack, and you'd have those options to make revenue off of. Now, that hasn't been finalized yet in the final agreement of AACS, but that then you have a form of copy protection and a way for the consumer to legally make an inexpensive digital copy either onto their hard disk for distribution to their house in the same format or to other formats like a DVD or to something they want to play in an affordable environment with, the iPod or something like that. So there's a lot of potential revenue opportunities that can go along with the silver platter, with networking as one mode, or with hopefully coming out managed copy in the form of AACS.
I noticed one thing, though, that you didn't mention was the concept of monetized sharing, where I could pass things that I've maybe recorded to Qflix DVD onto a friend. It, the rights management is protected, the copy is still protected, but they then pay the rights owner for some limited sort of viewing rights. That was sort of what I had in mind, was actually passing to different households, not just continuing to monetize that household. Anyway, I don't want to monopolize the mic.
And Microsoft actually is doing things in that direction, so it will happen in some form. I just don't know exactly how it's going to manifest itself.
A lot of the users who want that high interactivity are part of this next generation who are huge gamers. They were born with Ataris and Nintendos in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So to what extent do you see digital distribution through these next-gen gaming consoles as the new HD format?
Well, in the terms of from Microsoft's offering, there's the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes base with a DVD drive, but all the gaming experience that you have does 1080 resolution. So go and take advantage of the highest resolution on the HD set that's capable. And as an option, if the person wants to watch a movie, they can buy it for $200, $199. They can buy a HD DVD drive that adds onto it, and then that's because Microsoft believes that not all gamers are movie viewers. And that's just from our research. Obviously, it varies based on what company, on what the philosophy is on that. But in that regard, in terms of the interactivity, if you did have a gaming console, obviously you already have the capabilities of outputting a high-definition signal with a lot of graphic resolution. Now, the interesting part that comes in is how does that tie into the movie? Is there a movie genre that can tie into that game? So an example is with Microsoft, one of the big sellers for its gaming console is Halo, and they're also doing a movie. And how that movie can interact back with the game, or while you're playing it, have graphics come on. There's certain types of things that we've prototyped where you can use the game console while you're watching the movie to shoot things, and you can have graphics that can go on there and keep scores. Now, if that's the way that people are going to take interactivity, I don't know. The thing that's the downside on that is that not everyone has a game console that has that graphic power to be able to do that while watching a movie. Any of the set-top boxes, while they have the capabilities of doing graphics, it's not to the level of an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 3 or a PlayStation 2 or an Xbox in terms of that kind of graphic capability. So unless you're really targeting in a genre that's going with a game title that's out there with a high-def movie, it might not actually make sense. But the things where you really see the graphics, interactive graphics coming into play that I've seen are more along the lines of children's titles, mm-hmm. where you can take animation and change the color, and they can color in something that doesn't require a huge amount of bandwidth, but that's interactive and can draw that age group into the movie. And that's where I've really seen a lot of the what I would consider gaming experience, at least in the HD-DVD side of things, really having a lot of thought around in terms of that type of interactivity.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes also to the fundamental question of what you want to do when you watch a movie. Personally, when I watch a movie, I want to check out. I want to put down the remote, and I want to lie back on my couch. And I think there's some people who may want to watch a movie in a different way and be more involved in the movie. And I think, you know, as the technology evolves, that you'll find ways that there's going to be something for everyone.
Thanks.
Yeah, I love indie films, and I just want to know where I could get, like, Wolfen and all the other little compilation discs.
At Walmart. No.
I don't go into Walmart.
We are subscription-based. We have a website I can give you afterwards. And then we are also, you know, we are in Virgin and Borders and things like that, but it's really almost impossible to find us. Just as hard as it is to find these films, it's very hard to find us there because they carry 5 copies and they say it says magazine on there, and so they'll put it with the magazine. So they'll put it with some weird, they get confused. Mm-hmm. But see me after and I can give you. But we, with our website, wolfindvd.com. WHOLPHIN. A wolfin is a cross between a whale and a dolphin. It's an actual creature and it actually exists.
Yes.
There you are.
That's very important.
Yeah.
And if you want, you could go to the website and you can get the bundle of the Believer.
Yes.
I'm not your pitch man, but
yeah.
Believer, McSweeney's, and that little device there as well.
If you go to the website tonight, make sure you mention this panel because you get 50% off.
Yes, of both our offerings, his entire
and
catalog.
The entire Hard Drive library, yeah.
And he's giving away a free Blu-ray and HD.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Hi, Rob Shaver, World of Wonder Media. I'm old enough to remember Betamax versus VHS.
Hey,
so
come on.
Yeah,
and, wasn't that long ago?
Wasn't? Oh, it seems
no.
like. Anyway,
it does seem forever ago. But
early adopters got stuck with Betamax tape drives that. Still recorded, but they couldn't get rental media. So my concern is Blu-ray versus HD DVD. Somebody's going to get stuck with one that doesn't have media for it in, say, 3 years or so, I think.
Maybe
and
both.
Isn't it true that all physical media is going to go away in the long run? It's a question how long that long run is.
We had this kind of conversation beforehand, and it's I think one of the key contributing factors that would make, and we argue this at Microsoft all the time, there's a faction that says it's going to go away, and there's a faction that says it's going to stay. And really, at the end of the day, one of the key things that makes a difference on if it's even viable in the United States, obviously the United States is the biggest consumption market for DVDs, followed by Europe and then Asia, is the high enough speed bandwidth. And right now, today in the United States, there's maybe 1% of the population that would have high enough speed bandwidth to really do something that would be downloadable. Granted, Xbox does 720p downloads, but that's half the resolution of what, you know, you'd have on a HDVD or Blu-ray format at 1080p. And in order to have that, you really need to have something like, which is really only available in Asia, which is like 40 megabit download speed. Now, granted, some of that's starting to come in like Verizon Fios where they bring fiber to the house. But that's still a very small percentage. And if that can take off and what other competing technologies there's going to be really is going to decide how soon that would be viable. And after you have that, then you need to have a large amount of disk space to be able to store that type of content. So there's a lot of negating factors. It's definitely something, you know, like it's one of those avenues you have to prepare for as a potential, because it could take off faster than we think. But I think in the short run, the silver disk is going to be here for a while.
But isn't it true that most, you talked about HD televisions, and what do you say, 35 million of them out there?
That's a very conservative estimate.
Like there's 30 million of them won't work at full resolution with HDV discs, or because they don't have an HDMI interface. They have analog.
No, that's not true. You can output over component on HDVD and then actually.
Yeah, but you don't get full resolution, right?
You get 1080i. And if you have a 1080p display, it will properly deinterlace it, and you won't notice any signal deviation.
I guess what I read was incorrect. Thanks.
I mean, that's a lot of the issue right now at CES, for instance, this year. I was a thing of the past, and progressive is obviously the thing. You know, the 720p is no longer a thing that people even care about. It's all 1080. I thank you all for coming. Yeah, we'll be here for a few minutes if you want to come up and ask us, but our time here is over.